Presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I am just like you in that a lot of times when I go online, be it just the regular internet, Twitter, something like that, I cannot believe how nasty people are with each other. And some of these topics in life are obviously serious and the stakes are high. And yet it still seems like the level of decorum, or lack of decorum, I guess, in online discussion sometimes is just maddening. It's hard to believe that people could be that vicious with each other. That's one of the reasons why we escape to sports, right? Because sports offers a more fun type of debate. Sports offers a better kind of conversation where there doesn't have to be a bad guy, where it's all just fun, distraction from the more serious things of life. And I think we have an example today of what I believe is, in a realm of fun debates, which is what sports provides, this is kind of a fun debate for Georgia fans. I truly do not believe there is a villain on one side or the other of this discussion. I think there are strong arguments to be made and valid points to be made between both factions of Georgia fans. The issue that I'm talking about is Georgia-Florida and where it should be played. Should it be played in Jacksonville every single year? Should it be played in Athens one year, Gainesville the next, and then alternating that way? Should it be some sort of, is it amalgam, is that the right word? Amalgam of these where you go Athens, Jacksonville, Gainesville, and kind of rotate that way? I think that you can make a case on all of these sides for all of this stuff when it comes to Georgia, Florida. And here on Dog Nation Daily, we have done a lot of this over the years. And it seems like just about every summer we end up doing some of this kind of stuff again because these are the kinds of things you talk about when you don't have any games to talk about. You talk about how things should be in college football. Well, today it's not blowhard podcast host or video host that starts this debate, though. It is Georgia coach Kirby Smart himself because of some things that he said yesterday. Eyebrow raising for me when Dog Nation's Mike Griffith asked him about on the heels of, and we'll get into this more during the week, Kirby kind of defending once again during the SEC spring meetings in Destin, Florida, his penchant for wanting tough non-conference schedules and how that's going to factor into the future of the college football playoff debate and those credentials earned from playing big-time non-conference opponents is going to make things easier for Georgia to get in the college football playoff. Maybe easier is not the right word, but certainly it's going to be able to navigate a path for Georgia to the college football playoff because you're playing tougher schedules. Kirby Smart made that point. But then Mike Griffith stood up and said, yeah, but what about your home schedule? If you're going to Norman, Oklahoma, you're losing a home game. If you're going to Austin, Texas, you're losing a home game. And you've already lost one because you play in Jacksonville every single year. What does that do for that? And Kirby Smart gave an answer that I believe got Georgia fans' attention. Here is Mike, and then here's Kirby.
How could this affect the game in Jacksonville? You're already down one major recruiting weekend to Alabama, LSU, Auburn. Does this have an effect on the potential of the Jacksonville series going home and all?
I think that's always up for discussion. We have a contract with Jacksonville. It's a couple years out. I think you're always looking to see what you can do to help your program get better. So nothing's off the table, but nothing's been decided either.
So Kirby says the contract's a couple years out. It runs through 2021. Is that correct? Am I right about that? 2021 for the Georgia-Florida series. So really, if the contract ends in 2021, the negotiations for the extension of that contract should be going on right now. These things, you know, kind of start being worked on, obviously, ahead of time. And Kirby Smart says, hey, everything's on the table. Coming here to Athens and playing this game every other year, that's on the table. Nothing's been decided. And for me, someone who's followed this issue pretty closely over the years, I detected a little bit of a sea change when you hear the coach of Georgia say something along those lines. Because for me in the past, when you've heard administration-level officials talking about Georgia-Florida, it seems like it's always come with a strong willingness to keep that game in Jacksonville and preserve what has been a tradition for college football fans and a lucrative agreement for the University of Georgia. Kirby Smart leaving the door open to not do that, for me, is kind of a new realm of this debate, so to speak. However, maybe it's not supposed to be that much of a surprise that Kirby Smart said what he said yesterday, because I have speculated out loud. After all, speculating out loud is kind of what I do for a living, but I have speculated out loud that it almost seems like maybe Kirby Smart's just not that big of a fan of the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Let me go back to last November as an example of this. We talked about this on Dog Nation Daily not all that long ago. But Kirby was asked a couple weeks after the cocktail party this past season about the future of that series, and he said something at the time that I thought was, you know, really pretty poignant. Smart said, yeah, absolutely, it cost you a recruiting weekend. He means playing that game in Jacksonville. You don't get to have anybody, and they don't get to have anybody. So our version of the LSU-Alabama game is held in Jacksonville, meaning that big-time conference game that everybody has circled and everybody cares about. He says ours is held at a neutral site every year, and we don't have prospects. So Kirby goes on to say, it's not conducive to recruiting. Absolutely it's not. It's just the way it's been done before. It's just not great for recruiting because you lose a home game every other year, and it just comes with it. But it certainly helps to have more games. That's Kirby Smart from November speaking on the time, the future of the Georgia-Florida game. And the phrase there that sticks out to me more than any other, and I'm going to underline this on my little notes here, he says, it's just the way it's been done before. I was on with the folks in Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref this morning, and I said, it almost seems like we've got a bit of a showdown right now going on, and I'm sure I'm overhyping this, but it certainly has the look and feel of Kirby Smart taking on tradition. Kirby Smart taking on the way things have been done before. Kirby Smart, I believe, maybe behind the scenes, based on the circumstantial evidence, suggesting that maybe the way that things have been done before is not the way things should be done going forward. And as I said off the top of the program, there's a pretty strong case to be made for that. I mean, listen to Jeff Sintel talk. We'll have Before the Hedges later on this afternoon on the Dog Nation video channels. Jeff was on our show yesterday. Jeff's about to be on vacation, but we've heard plenty from him already this spring and early summer. And the one thing that you already hear from Jeff a lot is there's this growing list of visitors already seemingly forming for the Georgia-Notre Dame game coming up in September. Because when recruits have their choice of which games they want to go to for, in some cases, unofficial visits, in some cases, official visits, recruits just choose the biggest games. You can take a look at the grid schedule for college football, especially here in the South, and you can say, okay, this week everybody's going to be at this game, and then this week everybody's going to be at this game, and then this week everybody's going to be in this game. And with Georgia in week four playing Notre Dame in a week where Clemson's playing Cupcake Central and Alabama's playing Cupcake Central, all the recruits are going to want to be at that Georgia-Notre Dame game. When you have that really sexy home game, you just get people wanting to be in your building, not just fans, but recruits alike. And Kirby Smart says, with the Jacksonville thing every year, we missed the chance to do that. And that's a really strong argument. But on the other hand, Georgia recruiting is doing fine, as it is right now, and the world's largest outdoor cocktail party is a tradition that really matters. And for many people, it's really fun. And some people will push back and say, yeah, but Jacksonville as a city is a dump. It kind of is, but St. Simon's is not. And let me tell you, the Golden Isles, as they like to call them, the Georgia coast, that is rocking and rolling on Georgia-Florida weekend. That's the kind of week away or weekend away that is coveted and dreamed about for 11 months until you finally get a chance to be back there for the cocktail party again. Maintaining that tradition, not letting that go away, is also a pretty worthy argument. There's a case to be made for that as well. As I've said before, I'm in favor of the cocktail party the way that it is, but I also have great respect for Kirby Smart, and the fact that he's won as much as he has early on at Georgia gives his opinion a lot of cachet. If it is true that Smart would want to change this series, he would sway my viewpoint just a bit. I don't know that it completely changes my mind, but it certainly gives me a pause and makes me take a second look at the tradition that I've held dear, which is the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. I'd love to see some honest-to-goodness polling on this from Georgia fans. Like, really really big, committed Georgia fans who have some skin in the game. Where do you want to see this game played? I think that's kind of an interesting question to ask. And as we said, there is room to disagree, and there's no real bad guy in this discussion because we're talking about the better of two pretty good scenarios when it comes to Georgia. One more final quick point on this. There's also another source apparently heard from on this, Matt Hayes, who you may remember as a longtime writer for the Sporting News, now I guess working for Bleacher Report. He also does some radio in Jacksonville. He tweeted this yesterday. He's kind of a longtime college football reporter. He says, when it comes to the Georgia-Florida game, sources tell me both schools currently make more annually playing in Jacksonville than on campus and will make a, quote, significant amount more with a new deal being ironed out. Now, if you look at Matt Hayes' Twitter bio, it shows him as living in St. Augustine, Florida. And as I said before, he does a little bit of radio work there in Jacksonville. So do that what you will with what his source might be for that. It seems reasonable to assume that maybe he's getting some information from a Jacksonville-based entity, which obviously would love to keep this series there in Jacksonville. Here's what I do know. The negotiations to keep this game in the so-called Gator Bowl, I believe they have been intensified by the words of Kirby Smart. And maybe Kirby Smart secretly does want this thing home and home, and maybe he gets his way. Or maybe Jacksonville is forced to pony up a whole bunch more money to keep this game where it has been for an awful long time. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video today, 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are available as a podcast wherever you find them, Apple Podcast Player, Google Podcast Player, and the world-famous DogNation.com. Pretty much wherever you find podcasts, you can find the on-demand audio version of our program. We're really glad to have you with us. And by the way, speaking of the world-famous DogNation.com, hope you will go there and find out more information about our Dog Nation Days of Summer. Y'all, it's getting close. We're what? I think tomorrow's 2 weeks. Is that right? I think tomorrow is 2 weeks from the kickoff of Dog Nation Days of Summer on June 13th in Callaway Resort and Gardens. Yeah, if you're watching a video right now, this is where we're going to be, putting our feet in those lakes. My kids have already seen this little water park deal. They can't wait to be a part of that. My wife wants to, you know, tour the gardens. We're going to have a fun college football conversation there that night. Callaway Gardens is nice. We're going to play some golf on Friday. Go to DogNation.com. You can find a link to kind of get in on that. Our buddy BJ, who helps out here at Dog Nation, he's kind of overseeing the golf on this. We'd love to have you be a part of our groupings going out on Friday afternoon to play golf. This is a beautiful getaway from Atlanta, and it is going to be awesome. We have sold a ton of rooms for this, but my understanding is they're going to make a little more room in our VIP reception, which begins at 5 p.m. that night. For some folks, if you still want to get involved in the big event itself, kicks off that night at 6. We got some special guests coming. It's going to be a great college football conversation and a fun, fun summer getaway. And guess what? After that, we're going to do it all again Thursday, August 1st at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. What an amazing summer it's going to be around Dog Nation. We're calling it Dog Nation Days of Summer, and I absolutely cannot wait. All right, we just heard from Kirby Smart from Destin, Florida. We'll talk to Mike Griffith in Destin, Florida, who covered Kirby and had that exchange you just heard from him a moment ago. We'll do that on Dog Nation Daily here coming up. But before that, let's go around the doghouse, presented today by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. And my, oh my, things have gotten interesting in the world of recruiting. Now, as a general rule, y'all know that I am a fan. I've never pretended not to be a fan. I like to do the show from the perspective of the fans. I'm not one of these guys that sits up in an ivory tower and talks down to fans. I talk with fans. That's always what I want my job to be and what my role to be here at Dog Nation Daily. However, as a fan, I also think it's really important in my own personal, I guess, behavior to kind of not get too, you know, excited too soon, maybe not get my hopes up too soon. But I found it really interesting yesterday, and this came out relatively late in the evening, that five-star running back Zachary Evans, on the heels of Georgia seemingly losing out on a top-flight running back, Marshawn Lloyd, who on Memorial Day chose South Carolina over a host of suitors, Georgia included in that. Well, Zachary Evans drops his top five, and the Dogs were included. Let me see the tweet from Evans here for a moment, where he says thanks to everybody like always and announces his top five schools of Ohio State, Alabama, LSU, Oklahoma, and Georgia. Now, this to me is interesting for a number of reasons. One of the reasons is that the top five for Zachary Evans is almost identical to the top four of Kendall Milton. The only school that Evans included that Milton didn't was Oklahoma. And at one point in time, there had been a good bit of online chatter connecting Kendall Milton to Oklahoma. So you've got two elite running backs, both of which are no strangers to conversations here on Dog Nation Daily, and that you're both seemingly choosing from the same group of schools. I find that fascinating. But where I think a Georgia fan has a little bit of freedom now to get a little bit anticipatory about what the next move for Zachary Evans is going to be is, when Evans' name came up on our show yesterday, and it did come up because it's sort of that what's next after Marshawn Lloyd chooses South Carolina, the most ungettable get of all seemed to be Zachary Evans. Number one player in the country according to the 24/7 Sports Composite. A terrific five-star running back. But, as I said yesterday, I've been led to believe a million times that eventually Evans was going to choose either Texas or Texas A&M. The in-state product from Texas was going to stay in the state of Texas for his college career. But did you notice a moment ago when I rallied off those top five names, I didn't mention the Longhorn, and I did not mention the Aggies. And I think the absence of Lone Star State programs in the Zachary Evans top five, assuming he sticks to this top five and he doesn't pull a Jay Hardy and turn a top five into a top seven at some point in time, assuming he sticks to this top five, The absence of in-state schools, I think, makes Georgia a much bigger factor and a much bigger player in the Zachary Evans recruitment. And I think this is going to be really a big story to watch. Now, obviously, for Georgia fans, myself included, this is not about, at least right now, the hopes of getting Evans or Kendall Milton. I think it's still fair to say, can Georgia get Evans and Milton? That's a tough pull, and it's maybe far more unlikely than it is likely. But I think the summer just got a lot more interesting for Georgia running back recruiting, and I, for one, cannot wait to see where all of this goes next. It's Around the Doghouse. It is presented today by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. And listen, for those of us who are homeowners, there are occasionally these moments where you really stop and take a beat because you see something that looks just a little bit different than you're used to. I'm talking about a crack in your foundation on a wall outside your house, or maybe a little bit of an uneven floor, or maybe some water down in the basement. It happens for virtually everybody, but when it does happen for you, it's going to be kind of this nerve-wracking thing about what do you do about that? Well, here's what you do. You talk to experts as fast as you can. When I say expert, I don't mean just some fly-by-night dude that has a company. I mean an engineer. An organization like Engineered Solutions of Georgia that has a full-time engineer on staff. This is your house. This is serious business. You want to make sure you're trusting smart people to help get it fixed and get it back in full working order. This is the structural integrity of your home. Trust an engineer like the folks at Engineered Solutions of Georgia to get this done. Give them a call at 678-ESOG now. That's 678-ESOG now. All right, coming up later on, Nick Saban said something yesterday that kind of raised my eyebrows just a bit. We will talk about that. We'll also catch up with Mike Griffith here in just a moment. It's Dog Nation Daily. In fact, let's speak to Mike Griffith right now. So I kind of have to say that for the radio and podcast audience, but we will get Mike Griffith coming up in just a couple of moments here. We'll find out how he's doing today.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
SEC spring meetings going on in Destin, Florida right now. Mike Griffith from Dog Nation has been the center of it all. And Mike, we appreciate you being with us and joining us here today. And, you know, it was your question to Kirby Smart that had us talking on our program a few minutes ago before you joined us about the notion that Georgia, Florida, what the future of this series is going to be. And boy, hearing Kirby talk yesterday, he really left that door open for a change. I don't know that it's right to speculate too much about what he meant by that, but boy, people are going to do some speculating nonetheless when he says nothing's been decided and everything's on the table. How did you take what Smart had to say yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kirby's been hitting at that for a while, B.A. You know, I thought, you know, last season, he talked about it a little bit. And look, nobody's more of a Georgia Bulldog than Kirby Smart. There is nobody, let's make no mistake about it, there is nobody that loves the University of Georgia more and wants the best for that school more than Kirby Smart. He's as Georgia Bulldog as it gets, man. And, you know, what Kirby's trying to do is win championships. And there's such a fine line. I mean, all we got to do is just think about these last two Alabama games. There is such a fine line between winning and losing. We're talking about one play, not just one player. One player can make four or five plays. We're talking about one play in two games that has made all the difference in the world. And if it comes down to a recruiting weekend standing between Georgia and a national championship, then Kirby's got to do what he thinks is in his best interest. Now, the argument that I hear, and I think it's a good one, is, well, it looks like Georgia's doing just fine with that game being played in Jacksonville, and that is fair to say. But I think Kirby looks at it as, you know, why is Georgia punting one of the best recruiting weekends every other year when Alabama and Tennessee aren't, and LSU and Alabama aren't, and Tennessee and Florida aren't? You know, Georgia is missing out by not having that home game. And now that we're looking at this future scheduling with home and home, we're talking about taking yet another game away from Stanford Stadium, BA. And I guess if there was one more point I'd want to make on something I was thinking about this week when I was talking with Dwan Mathis' father, Terrence, you know, his father couldn't say enough about the treatment that his son got, not just from Kirby Smart and the staff, but from Piedmont Hospital. And, you know, when you've got a medical center, and Athens has a couple really good ones, by the way. St. Mary's is also very good. But when you start talking about a city's infrastructure, part of that is the money that they get from taxes, and part of it is the money they get from football. The fact that Georgia has a world-class medical facility like Piedmont that really made a difference in that kid's life. And that's going to make a difference in recruiting. And you think to yourself, what else could Athens do with another $4 to $6 million of economic impact every other year? And it really kind of all goes together. And it was kind of my observation and take on that.
So let me follow up on that, because I think there's a lot to unpack for that. You know, first of all, I'm a big believer that when it comes to Georgia, Florida, and Jacksonville, that it's not a disadvantage on the field for Georgia to play that game there. And, Mike, as painful as it was for me as a fan, lived through the 90s and the early 2000s in which Georgia just had no luck in this series whatsoever, even back then I was the one saying Georgia's not losing these games because it's in Jacksonville. So I agree with you that if there's a motivation to change this, it's about what you could gain from recruiting by having that additional marquee game to host recruits in Sanford Stadium. But this is not for me about making it more fair, because I don't believe the game being played in Jacksonville is unfair to Georgia. However, the one thing I also said before you joined us is I think there are good arguments to be made on both sides of this discussion. If I put a really smart Georgia fan on one side of my desk who said this game needs to be in Athens every other year because of recruiting, that's a strong argument. But if I put another fan on the other side of the desk who said this game needs to be in Jacksonville every year because it's one of the unique special traditions in all of college football and it's fun for tens upon tens of thousands of UGA fans, I think that's a pretty strong argument too. I don't know that there's a villain in this discussion. I don't know that there's a losing argument for Georgia. For me, this is about deciding about the best among two pretty good outcomes. Would you agree with that assessment?
I would absolutely agree with that assessment. And I totally understand, you know, the people that support this game being in Jacksonville are very passionate about that. And the University of Georgia is very sensitive to that. I just had a conversation with Greg McGarity in the hall. Boy, does he work out, by the way. If you wonder how that guy stays so slim, that guy really sweats and pushes it. But I just ran into him down here, it is what it is. I mean, he understands all the dynamics and every angle. And, of course, you know, Greg McGarry is a guy that enjoys that game being, you know, in Jacksonville. I'm not saying that's the side he's taken, because I think right now Greg McGarry is kind of on the Kirby wagon. You know, I think it's really about a university that's standing behind their football coach and trying to get behind what Kirby thinks is best for the program. I mean, he's the one that's led Georgia to the doorstep of the national championship in consecutive years. So to your point, it is about what's doing best for Georgia. But I'll say this, and you know, with all due respect to tradition, I mean, I remember when they, you remember when they worked on the Masters, when they changed the course around a little bit. It's still the Masters, right?
Yeah.
But things change, and evolution, as you and I both know, in many and in all walks of life, requires a change. And it's not to say that it damages the program. If it's done properly, it enhances the program, and for what it's worth, and I know a lot of people look at me and say, Mike, you know, you've only been covering Georgia for a year, you know, we've got this tradition. But guys, I've been to the Swamp a lot, and I'm going to tell you, I like that road trip. I like going in that stadium. I think it's fun, it's loud, it's energetic, and the energy is through the roof. Frankly, it's a better game day environment than Jacksonville in terms of the excitement. Now, as far as the parties and the things in the ocean, like next, Gainesville doesn't compare in that respect. I can tell you that. You're not going to have the same pool side and bar side drinks and ocean, but in terms of game day environment and the electricity in the stadium, doesn't compare. The Swamp is one of the top three or four venues in the SEC.
So let me ask you a very blunt question before we change the subject and talk about something different. Does Kirby Smart have enough political power in Athens right now to get this change? Because Matt Hayes says, the longtime college football writer, that Georgia makes more money by playing the game in Jacksonville. Yeah. Now, let's just take him at his word for a moment for the sake of argument. For the sake of argument, let's say it is more lucrative to keep the game in Jacksonville. If Kirby Smart wants the change, does he have enough political capital to get this to get this change, or does he have to win a national championship first?
Yeah, and Matt's right, and we've written that. You know, Matt's sitting next to me in the media room, and we talked about it yesterday. But if I recall, you know, I'm tapping back into my conversations with McGarity about this last fall when we talked about this. I want to say it works out to every 2 years, like $3.1 million more. So if you want to prorate that, you know, the University of Georgia makes $1.5 million more. Obviously, the city of Athens loses everything, and the city of Jacksonville benefits from some of the collateral finances involved with this. Athens doesn't, you know, Georgia doesn't get a chance to enhance its partner city. does Kirby have the, I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that question. I wish I could answer it. I know the contract goes through 2021. To me, it's Mullen and Kirby right now laying the groundwork for the potential for that game to move. Jacksonville can always up the ante, which I'm sure they will. But at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, Georgia fans have to ask themselves, you know, do you want to keep pumping your money into the Florida economy, or do you want to keep it in state and pump it into Athens? Because that's the net result. And do you want to give your coach another recruiting weekend every other year to maybe land that one or two players? Who knows? If it's one or two players, as I said, these last two seasons, BA, it's come down to one play. Mm-hmm. You can point to one play the last 2 years they played Alabama. So, you know, if Georgia makes that play, they might be a national champion. And one player can make that play. So that weekend could make a difference.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Let me transition to a different topic. You mentioned Dwan Mathis a moment ago. That's obviously a potentially very scary situation, and yet you still had very good reporting on it. You had a chance to talk to Terrence Mathis a couple of times, Dwan Mathis' father. As people are aware of now, Mathis underwent brain surgery to remove a cyst last week. Mike, what's your overall takeaway on all this after hearing Kirby yesterday on the subject of Mathis, speaking to Mr. Mathis a couple of times? You know, it seems like with Mathis now out of the hospital, we're heading towards what hopefully is going to be a happy ending here. But my gosh, how scary this could have been. And my heart really goes, because I got kids and you do too. You know, my heart goes out to the Mathis family, knowing they were 800 miles away from their son while he was going through an incredibly serious procedure. I can only imagine how harrowing that must have been.
Well, remarkable is my reaction to it. You know, if it wasn't for the sinus pressure, they don't find a cyst. You know, it turned out to be the best headache he'd ever had. And it was a severe sinus pressure on account of the climate change. When he went back to Michigan after the conclusion of spring drills and spring semester, went back for a couple weeks. He came back on May 13th, BA. And obviously the heat in Athens has been pretty intense these last couple weeks. And that climate change triggered a sinus reaction and the sinus pressure. And this is where, if you're a Georgia fan, you got to tip your cap to the Georgia medical staff and Ron Corson on that staff. You know, you take those guys for granted. You take those team doctors and trainers for granted, and you want to just pretend that they're all the same, but they're not. And Georgia has maybe the best on the globe. You know, I looked at Ron, and he's a guy that, you know, he worked in three Olympics. He's written a book on these topics. I mean, so when a kid comes into the training room with a headache, you know, let's be honest, a lot of places are going to give them two aspirin and tell them to take a nap. Georgia is all over it. Georgia rushes them to ER. They recognize that this is not just a headache. They take the kid at his word, and they take him to ER. He gets an MRI. They discover this cyst, and they have to operate immediately. You know, Piedmont is one of the top 1,000 hospitals in the world. It is one of only 7 Georgia hospitals on that list. So he has a world-class facility. He has a world-class training staff to do this. They take him to Piedmont. It's a world-class facility. They're able to, deduce from this MRI that the surgery has to be performed immediately. Kirby Smart handles this personally. I'm going to divulge something on the show, a detail that I've left out. When they called the family, okay, Terrence Mathis is getting out of the hospital today. He himself has been in the hospital while all this is going on. They call him, and not Georgia, by NCAA rules, they are allowed to provide transportation. Not only did they provide transportation, Kirby Smart saw to it that they had a personal escort from the Atlanta airport to Athens. Kirby Smart has been at the head of this train the entire process. Him and Ron Corson has been the liaison to Piedmont. Georgia has handled this in a fashion that has literally brought Terrence Mathis to tears. He has told me that the way this has been handled has humbled him and his family. He can't believe it. He can't believe the world-class doctors and experts and specialists that were on hand immediately. He can't believe the personal phone calls, all the visits that James Coley's made to the hospital. He says his son is being treated not like an incoming freshman that they're just getting to know, but he says Kirby Smart has treated his son as though he were his own child. And every time I talk to him, BA, you know, you see the quotes, but you don't see is the part where he says, Mike, make sure you get this in there. Mike, make sure you tell the Georgia fans we appreciate their prayers. Mike, make sure you tell Dog Nation we know they're there for us and it means everything. He's telling me, make sure you put this in the story. They are so thankful and appreciative that Georgia has handled this in this world-class manner. And that's why the whole, you know, pumping money into Athens, that's why it clicked to me, B.A. That's why it matters, because it matters what your ambulance service is. It matters who your firefighters are. It matters what your streets are like. And Athens is such a tremendous community, and they were there to answer the bell for Dwan Mathis, and Kirby Smart was there. So when I say remarkable, this story truly has been remarkable.
That's great to hear, Mike. Thanks for telling that story. As far as everything else that's gone on at Destin, Florida, what else has stood out to you from what you heard from Kirby? I know you've got some stuff coming up at DogNation.com in the days ahead about the other things he had to say. Anything else kind of get your attention from Smart's remarks yesterday?
My big picture, and I kind of wrote a Nick Saban story on it because I asked Nick Saban directly. I mean, let's say he's the dean of the SEC coaches. He's the guy with the vision. You know, I put it together, B.A., and you do your show. You know, look, what are we talking about here? We're talking about the potential for alcohol sales. That's going to go in front of the president, right, to vote on. The potential for alcohol sales. You know, there's a committee that's been put together to pay players more for the use of their likeness. So we're talking about paying players. We know that the aggressive scheduling is in response to anticipation of expanded playoffs. We've talked about the transfer portal, which amounts to restricted free agency. Let's put that together real quick. Alcohol, paying players, free agency, and playoffs. What is that all at? That sounds like the NFL, for goodness sake. And so I asked him, Saban, where do we got to go to protect the college game? And, you know, Saban didn't get too far into it, but he did say this is in the entertainment industry. So the one thing I would say to fans, and I would say to you, because you're a master at your show and your ideas, and I would love to hear what your response is to this, is how far do we go before we're turning college football into pro football? And where do we draw the line as far as, you know, what changes we're making to the game? Because before long, it's going to look exactly like pro football's minor league instead of the college football game that we've come to know and love.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that changes that are coming in college football are seemingly coming for good reasons, and yet sometimes even good reasons are also attached with unintended consequences. And I think we're already seeing that with some of the recently instituted stuff, maybe the transfer portal, for instance, that sometimes positive changes also include unintended outcomes.
No doubt, and that's why I say we have to be careful what we wish for, and I know the alcohol and stadiums issue, I know it's a convenience for fans, but, you know, as someone who's, you know, been in NFL stadiums and college stadiums, you know, I'll tell you, you know, Sanford Stadium to me is one of the friendliest stadiums in the country, and I just, it's not that it would necessarily go bad, it's not like everybody is going to abuse the privilege, it's not like it's that some people don't use it now, but, you know, I'm just such a big believer in don't mess, you know, with success, and I look at what Georgia has. I mean, I'm invested, you know, because I believe, you know, I believe that what Georgia has is really special. You know, I take a lot of heat, you know, when I go on Feinbaum's show, and Paul knows this. He likes to put me in the corner and you know, well, Mike, you think Georgia's better than Alabama this year. Well, why don't you tell us why? You know, and I'll tell you why. You know, because they got a better offensive line. They can protect their quarterback. He's a third-year starter, And I think Georgia's, you know, in the right place to do this. They've got an incredible level of buying with Kirby Smart, and they've got the continuity from promoting within while Saban has had to change that. That's why. Now, sure, I'm going to get slammed by 85% of the people on Twitter that are Alabama fans and call me out. But, you know, I know what I see, and I know what I feel, and I know what I believe. And maybe I've only covered Georgia for a year, B.A., but I've covered college football for 26 years, and I can tell you that what Kirby Smart in Georgia and the city of Athens have going on is really special. And it's just, you don't see that combination very often. In fact, I don't know that I've ever seen a school put together a town, a campus, and an academic rating like I've seen Athens and Georgia do. And that's kind of my thought. And I guess that lets you know where I fall in that whole home-and-home series and pumping money into that Athens economy.
Well, it's certainly an exciting time, Mike. We appreciate you being with us here today. Appreciate your coverage from Destin, Florida, as part of SEC Spring Meetings. We'll look forward to reading a whole bunch more from you at DogNation.com and catch up with you back here again on Dog Nation Daily very soon.
Thanks, B.A.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, interesting stuff on the future Georgia-Florida. I think it's really kind of a it's an interesting time, and it's going to be interesting to see where it goes next. Let me transition to our SEC Through, and while we do, let me remind you about my friends at Kroger. You know, a lot of you are getting ready for a lot of summer travel and things like that. Well, as you're thinking about that summer travel, one of the things you also think about is how can you make this a little bit more cost efficient? Well, Kroger's got you taken care of on that. You can earn three times the fuel points right now on hundreds of items throughout the store. I'm talking about Kroger ice cream, begging treats for your dogs, Hershey chocolate syrup, Red Bull, a whole lot more. Just got to look for those three times the fuel points tags on a lot of the aisles there, and you can start shopping and start saving. If you got travel coming up this summer, a little extra fuel certainly savings doesn't hurt, and you can get that at your local Kroger, so I hope you will check that out. All right, something quite fascinating came from the SEC spring meetings yesterday, and it did not involve Georgia coach Kirby Smart. It instead involved Alabama coach Nick Saban. I'm going to go and try to read the comment here from Saban when it comes to his quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa. Now, listen carefully on this. He said, okay, here we go on the screen. It's Brett McMurphy on Twitter saying, Tua has to challenge himself to get back. Being hurt was an issue at the end of last season. He has to challenge himself to get back into great shape. He should take the perception he has a lot to prove, as do all of us, relative to how the season ended. That's an eye-opener, right? That's Nick Saban seemingly being critical of his quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa. What's ironic is Saban says that on about Tua on the same day that one of the online betting houses just flipped the Heisman favorite and made Tua the favorite over Trevor Lawrence. So, I mean, Tua is still considered on the shortest of short lists for the best player in all of college football, but Nick Saban has some critical remarks and specifically drawing a line between Tua's conditioning at the end of the season and how Alabama fared against Clemson in the national championship game. Really, in a lot of ways, echoing the thoughts of some Alabama fans. Alabama fans have not been, I don't want to say unkind to Tua this offseason, but Tua's gotten some criticism from Bama fans about the Clemson game. They didn't think he played great in the spring game. And we said this in the show not too long ago, that we're kind of in the season of Tua doubters just a bit. He was praised all year last year, and there's nothing that the media, and I guess I'm probably included in this group, there's nothing that the media likes doing more than building you up and then eventually starting the process of tearing you down. And maybe we're seeing this when it comes to Tua, and maybe unwittingly, Alabama coach Nick Saban is a part of this. Ultimately, though, what I think this is really about is, I think that this is the anxiety creeping in with Nick Saban. Because the one thing that he always uses is a quarterback competition. Remember, Saban is the master of, not only does he not name a quarterback after spring practice, he doesn't even name a starting quarterback at the end of summer practice. How many times have we seen his quarterback battle stretch into the season where you have these random guys like Cooper Bateman starting games as Alabama quarterback in the month of September before Saban initially settles on the quarterback that's going to be his guy for that season? Saban is a guy that really believes that competition is what breeds success, and obviously the results speak for themselves. He's probably right about that. Unfortunately, right now, Alabama does not have a quarterback competition. There is no Jalen Hurts anymore. Mac Jones is a former pretty good recruit, one-time Kentucky commit. No one's going to confuse him with a player like Tua Tagovailoa. You know, the other incoming freshman, Paul Tyson, Talia Tagovailoa, I personally think that both these guys are at least years away from being capable college players. So I think that Saban looks, and I think he sees a scenario where he's got nobody pushing Tua to be better, and so Saban's going to take it on himself to be the one to push Tua, which I think is kind of an interesting strategy. In fact, I'll go so far as to say this. It would not surprise me if eventually Kirby Smart does something similar with Jake Fromm. After all, it seems like right now that Fromm is a little bit like Tua, the quarterback who could sort of do no wrong. If there was a teacher's pet version of football player, Tua is Alabama's version of that. Fromm is probably Georgia's version of that. But now with no Justin Fields at Georgia, with no Jacob Eason at Georgia, maybe Kirby Smart's also afraid that there's no quarterback to push Fromm the way that Fromm was once pushing Eason, the way that last year was thought that Fields might push Jake. That guy does not seemingly exist in the Georgia roster right now because both Stetson Bennett and Dwan Mathis, once he's healthy again, they both have some probably work to do to be ready to play at the SEC level. So listen carefully this summer. I'm not saying it'll be as harsh as what Saban just said there about Tua, but listen for those moments in which Kirby Smart kind of also pushes Jake Fromm along. I think we're in a new era where the quarterback competitions of just a few years ago, those are going to be a lot more rare in college football, so coaches are going to have to do their part to manufacture this stuff somehow, and it wouldn't surprise me to see Smart at some point in time following Saban's footsteps on this. Let me do a couple more quick SEC stories before we move on here as well. I thought that Dan Mullen at the SEC spring meetings said something kind of interesting yesterday. The subject came up of possibly making the Miami series with the Gators. They're going to play in week zero this year, like August the 20 whatever, the week before everybody else plays. He said he wouldn't mind seeing that become more of a regular occurrence, maybe even an annual occurrence. And the reason why I bring this up is I do think there's a pretty strong case to be made for, and this is true for Georgia as well, it's not just the trips out of region to play at teams like Oklahoma and Texas. There's also some real value in playing regional non-conference opponents as well. And for Florida, that means Miami. That's an out-of-conference game in their own state, one that Florida over the years, frankly, has not played enough. And I think there's some value in playing that series more. But for Georgia, it's Clemson, it's Florida State, it's those non-conference games in your region where you have something to be gained in recruiting by maybe winning those games. I like the fact that these programs, even a team I hate like Florida, also sees the value in not just scheduling road trips, not just scheduling cross-country jaunts, but also scheduling some of those regional rivalries as well, because I think those are pretty fun too. And then finally, Darnell Washington, I'll call him a tight end. The recruiting services list him as an athlete. He releases his top 12 if you're watching on video. This is one of my favorite edits I've seen in quite some time because Washington from Vegas, got the Vegas kind of scenery in the background. There's a roulette wheel. There's some craps dice. There's the Las Vegas skyline. Now, you got to be 21 to get into a casino. Well, Washington's not old enough to do that, but he lives in Vegas, so you get the Vegas imagery here. And I don't know how much you take out of a top 12, but Georgia is included in that group. And Georgia right now, under Todd Hartley's leadership, is in the mix for a Rick Gilbert and Darnell Washington. Theo Johnson's a name you're going to hear. We'll hear from him later on today on Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger. It's kind of an interesting time for Georgia tight end recruiting. They want at least two this year, it seems like, and they want to make sure that those two are among the best in the country. That should be fun to watch, and we'll make that your SEC through. All right, before we do our summer Q&A today, let me mention my friends at Meriwether and Tharp here, and I know this is a tough topic for many people. Really, the last thing a lot of people want to talk about is the so-called D word. You know, divorce is just kind of a rough topic to deal with, especially if you're going through it, because it's painful, it's personal. And for a lot of people, it becomes the kind of thing you can't ignore anymore. You tried to maybe get out of the way of that, but it's going to eventually happen. And if you fail to prepare, that's planning to fail. Benjamin Franklin, of course, said that. That's why you want to trust my friends at Meriwether and Tharp to help prepare you to return your life back to normal and give you peace of mind and really secure your family's future. It's an important discussion, and it's one you want to have, starting with a free consultation with my friends at Meriwether and Tharp. Please find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com. That's theatlantadivorceteam.com. All right, so I want to set up our summer Q&A here, and it sounds like we may have a chance to be on video a little longer today, maybe than I initially thought. So we'll do some of this on video, and also for our radio and podcast audience, we'll take your responses at Dog Nation Daily on Twitter, or you can drop your comment in the comment section. We post the podcast at worldfamousdognation.com. I simply chose two questions today for a specific reason. I really want to continue this debate about Georgia, Florida. I thought that Mike Griffith had some interesting things to say about that a moment ago. And I want to talk more about Zachary Evans as well. And I don't want to cloud this debate here too much. So just two questions for our summer Q&A today. Should Georgia, Florida be played on campus? And is it realistic that Georgia could pull five-star running back Zachary Evans out of Texas, the state of Texas, I mean, now that Evans has included UGA in his top five? I'd love to hear from you on both of those topics. We'll do this for a bit here on the show and then as a part of our video audience live after that and then on Twitter throughout the rest of the day. So let me pop over to a Facebook here for a moment. We will get a couple comments over here and see what folks are saying. Dustin Williams says, no, the game should not be played on campus. And he says, yes, it is realistic that Georgia can sign Zachary Evans. Bryce Dixon, who's a big dog fan, also says keep the game in Jacksonville. However, J.J. McMillan says, yes, the game should be played on campus. Here's one of those things where I'm honestly not sure of right now. I generally speaking feel like I have a pretty good handle on the way that Georgia fans feel and think. I honestly don't know, though, if you did like a really substantial scientific survey, I don't know what the percentage of Georgia fans who want to keep the thing in Jacksonville versus the percentage of Georgia fans who'd want to play the game every other year in Athens. I'm not quite sure what that percentage split might be, but we'll take as many comments throughout the day here today to see if we can figure out. I'll also remind you to make sure you get your Atlanta news now at AJC.com, including check in on AJC.com. Now, you should do it throughout the day, but check in later on today after 6 p.m. There's going to be a press conference at SunTrust Park. The Atlanta Braves, I think, are on the verge of making a pretty big announcement today, and the AJC is going to have coverage of that. So AJC.com, the place to be this evening and every evening to keep up with your Atlanta news. Get Atlanta news now at AJC.com, including a pretty big announcement coming from the Braves later on today. All right, as we wrap up on our program and then get ready to do some video comments and have some fun after that, I'll mention a couple stories here. I talked on the video program a moment ago about Nicholas Claxton, the Georgia basketball star who has decided to keep his name in the NBA draft. Apparently, Claxton's gotten some assurances he'll be a first-round pick, so that's what he's going to do. And I think this is a bit of a lost opportunity for Georgia, pairing a veteran with the incoming crop of freshmen, including the Ant-Man himself, Anthony Edwards, would have been an interesting thing to see. But best of wishes and best of luck to Claxton as he moves on. I'll also say, and I'm not posting the picture intentionally because I feel like there's so much skin in the photo, it's almost like a violation of privacy. But did you see the picture of Ben Cleveland that's been bouncing around on Twitter as of late? He looks like he'd be main eventing WrestleMania. That's a pretty impressive physical condition that he finds himself in these days. By the way, speaking of the lousy, stinking Gators, 942 days, that's how long it's been since Florida's beaten Georgia. That's good news. We'll see you tomorrow here on Dog Nation Daily.